I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 will be our text this morning. In Romans chapter 1, the first seven verses, Paul gives an introduction at the beginning of this letter to the church in Rome. And in verse 1, he identifies himself, the writer, with a threefold description of himself. He says, Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He continues in verses 2 through 6 to describe his subject, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ throughout the book that rescues us and delivers us. And in verse 7, he identifies the recipients of the letter, the believers there in Rome. And I'm going to look at verse 1 this morning together with you, not as an introduction to the book, though it is, but as an introduction to a man, to a Christian, to a missionary named Paul. I think this is an amazing introduction of himself to those that we're going to read this letter. And introductions are important. As I think back in my own life, the way I've introduced my people, the way I've introduced myself has changed over the years. I started out as the son of Dennis and Carolyn, and when I would head down to Sunday school class and there'd be someone that was a little unfamiliar with my family or the church, maybe they were new, they would say, "Who are you?" And 6-year-old Timmy would look up and say, "Well, I'm Timmy, I'm Dennis and Carolyn's son." And then all the people that knew my dad and how he grew up would say, "Oh boy, this is Dennis's son. This kid has a lot to live up to. That guy was a stinker. This is his son." As I got a little older, I started identifying myself and introducing myself as a student athlete. This would be a little older in life. Started out playing baseball and moved from baseball into basketball. And I'd introduce myself as Tim, the baseball player. Well, then I added basketball to the mix. So, well, it's basketball player. And then I did football for a year until I realized there were other sports you could play that involved running and no hitting. And so then I left football behind. And I picked up track and cross country. And I eventually dropped everything else besides those two. And I just identified myself and introduced myself as a runner. That's who I am. And I emphasize the athlete part of the student athlete. I don't think I would have made it through high school if it wasn't for the sports part of it. Maybe you can relate to that. As I went into college, though, and did sports there, God did a minor miracle. I really loved the student part of the student athlete. It was amazing, and I began to think of myself truly for the first time in my life as a student and would introduce myself as such. Well, then, not long after that, I met my wife, and I became not just Tim, but for people at the church that I was going to back then, I was Julia's husband. She had been at that church much longer than me, and people knew her. I was the new guy, so I was Julia's husband. And then I became a father, and now I'm happily called the parent of Lincoln, who could be a stinker at times as well, and Grayson, and Callan, and Gibson. More often than not, though, where I find myself now is being called the middleman. And if you're in my station in life, you understand what that is. You have grandkids, and your grandkids have grandparents, and you're the person that brings the grandkids to the grandparents. So that's how I identify myself now. I'm Tim. I'm the middleman. I bring the grandkids around. One thing, though, that hasn't changed since a young man is I've identified and introduced myself as a Christian. And I want to talk about what we're actually saying this morning when we introduce ourselves as a Christian. That word at times cannot be as helpful as we would like. You could be a cultural Christian, which means you were raised in a home that maybe had a Bible around but didn't really spend much time looking into it or attending church. You could be an evangelical Christian and separate yourself from other branches, maybe identifying yourself as part of the evangelical church and not the Catholic church. You could say that. Or you could say, "I'm a born-again Christian," identifying yourself with the New Testament reality of being a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Sometimes it can get confusing, though, when we say, "I'm a Christian." But it wasn't really confusing for early believers. If we go back in time to the first century, believers like Paul didn't really have that problem because they didn't really use the word Christian when they introduced themselves. We don't see it in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. In fact, we don't even really see the term Christian showing up on the scene until about 10 or 15 years after the church begins in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't a term that's used. If you scan your Bible, you're going to find the word Christian about three times, twice in Acts and once more in 1 Peter 4:16. Believers in the Old Testament, New Testament, had other ways of introducing themselves. They would say something like, well, we're a disciple. We're a brother. We're a saint. We're a follower of the way, playing off of Jesus' words in John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Sometimes as you read Scripture, you'll see believers described as strangers, aliens, citizens of heaven, lights to the world, heirs with Christ, spiritual brothers with Jesus, members of a body. But there is one word, one description, one introduction that stands out above all the rest. It's used more, it's used more frequently, and it's used by the leaders, the religious leaders, the men and women that were part of the early church and were used by God to help spread it. And it is the word we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, I am a bondservant. What Paul is saying there is, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. If you look in your Old Testament, you'll find that believers identified themselves as slaves of God over 250 times. In the New Testament, you see another 40 describing believers' relationship to Jesus as their Lord. You see another 30 times in the New Testament using the image of a slave to describe the life as a believer before the Lord. It's all over the place. It's what Paul uses to introduce himself to the believers in Rome. Most certainly, though, your Bible does not say slave. If you're looking at your Bible, it's almost a guarantee, unless you're using the Holman Christian Standard Version, that it's going to say servant or bondservant. The word has been translated servant or bondservant going back to the King James Version and before. For obvious reasons, the word slave has a negative connotation, a stigma that it will not soon be released from, for obvious reasons. But that is what Paul says when he introduces himself to the believers. And he continues by not only describing who he is, his identity as a slave, but he says he's called as an apostle and he's set apart for the work of God. And I want to look at this today in the time that we have, because it's not an introduction to a book. It's not only that. It's an introduction to a man. And it's a personal challenge to us as we think about the times that we introduce ourselves as a Christian. What I want to ask ourselves this morning is, what are we saying according to the Bible when we say, hi, my name's Tim, and I'm a Christian? What are we really saying? What did Paul mean when he introduced himself this way? What are we saying when we do that? What we're going to find is that some of the specifics differ. Paul identifies himself as an apostle, which we do not believe is a valid ministry for today. But what we're going to find is a general pattern in his threefold description that carries right over to today and really unfolds and explains what it means to be a Christian without using the word. And it's really helpful because it's a great opportunity for us to look into our own lives and to, as we see these three descriptions, compare what we see in our own words and actions and how they match up to what a biblical explanation is of what it means to be a Christian. Number one, Paul says, and what are we saying when we say we're a Christian? He says, I'm a slave of Christ. He says, I own him as my Lord, and he owns me. I'm his special possession. If you were going to boil the word slave down to its essential meaning, it would be that of ownership. The difference between a slave and a hired worker is a hired worker works to earn a wage, and they have the freedom to do so. They're hired for a job. The beginning and ending of their of their profession, of their job, it comes and it goes. There's a set time, and they're free to leave when they're done. A slave is not that. They have no freedom. They're owned. They don't set the start time. They don't set the stop time. They're there, and they're owned by another. Paul says, I'm a slave of Christ. For the sake of time, we're not going to flip to all of these references this morning, but I want to just point out that he's not alone in doing this. In addition to Paul calling himself a slave of Christ here in the book of Romans, he also does it again in Galatians and Philippians and Titus. We also find in the book of James that the half-brother of Jesus, James, identifies himself the same way. The apostle Peter does so, as well as Jude. The apostle John does. And Paul calls Epaphras a bond slave, a slave of Jesus Christ. When you get to the book of Revelation, it's really interesting because the apostle John uses that word to describe all believers on earth. And then later in the book, he uses the same word to describe believers even in heaven. That phrase, that word carries over. It's used also in the book of Acts for believers identifying themselves and unbelievers identifying believers. Very common. And what I want to point out is how astonishing it is that Paul, of all the words he could have used introducing himself, he begins with bond servant of Christ Jesus, because he had so many things at his disposal. He was so proud of his Roman citizenship. He could have easily said, Paul, a Roman citizen. He could have said, Paul, a biblical author. He could have said, Paul, a recipient of a heavenly vision. Could have said, Paul, a missionary, a pastor. He didn't say those things. He makes no reference to achievements, to honors, earthly honors, makes no reference whatsoever. And at the same time, almost just as amazing, he makes no mention, at least off the bat, of his own personal deficiencies. Because there's other places, as you read through the New Testament, where Paul identifies himself as the chief of sinners, as the least of the apostles, because of the persecution that he made for the church before he was converted by Christ on the road to Damascus. He brings up neither the highs nor the lows. His whole identity is pointed back to the one that owns him, Jesus Christ. There's definitely food for thought for us as we think about this, because it's very tempting sometimes to introduce ourselves and kind of throw out some of the highs of our own life, human achievements. I'm tempted to do that. But there are also times when we're tempted to think of ourselves and to identify ourselves in terms of the failures in our lives. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can look back and see, I messed up there. I blew it there. I didn't do what I should have done there. And it becomes a thinking and a way of thinking that dominates who we are. But that's not what Paul says it means to be a Christian. Paul says, even though I was a persecutor of the church, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I don't need to think of myself in those terms. I simply think of myself as one that belongs to Jesus Christ. So what does Paul mean when he says that he's a bond servant of the Lord? Number one, he says that he has this unwavering commitment to Jesus Christ in every dimension of his life. In every way, he was committed to following Jesus. We don't have time to pursue that thought this morning. I think that's probably the first thing that comes to mind when we think of the word slave. I want to look at another side that maybe doesn't come to our mind as often. Not only was he committed fully to the Lord, but the Lord was fully committed to him in caring for him in every area of his life. And this is where Paul's identification as a slave makes a break, a total break from our idea of slavery. Because a slave's condition in first century Rome was totally dependent upon the character and position of their owner. If they were well esteemed and respected in the community, so was the slave. If that owner really liked their slaves and wanted to treat them in a great way, well, then they were. But the opposite was true. If their owner had little respect and position, well, so did they. And if their owner wanted to abuse them and harm them, well, he had the right to do that. But when Paul says he's a bondservant of Christ Jesus, He's pointing to the perfect Lord, the perfect King, whose character is flawless, whose position is King of the universe. He says, that's the one that owns me. Paul is saying, essentially, when he says a bondservant of Christ Jesus, he says, I've been purchased by my Lord. There's an amazing quote by Alva J. McLean in his commentary on Romans. He says this about Paul's statement, his identity as a slave of Christ. He says, picture a slave market. A slave is placed upon the block and the auctioneer stands up and auctions him off. Somebody buys him and he becomes a bond slave. Such a slave is called a doulos. Paul says, I'm a doulos of Jesus Christ. I'm a bond slave. In other words, Jesus had purchased Paul out of the market, and now all that he is and has, his time, his strengths, his talents, even life itself, it no longer belongs to Paul, but it belongs to him. We too are the douloi of the Lord, the bond servants. The term ought to be precious to us. It not only expresses the idea of servitude to Christ, but reminds us that our servitude is based on purchase. I am a bond slave of the Lord because he bought me with his own precious blood. If you remember that, you will love to be called a servant of the Lord. I am not only obliged to serve him, but I am his possession. He is responsible for me to take care of me and to provide for me. I believe that Paul has this in mind as he introduces himself to the believers, finds his identity in his Lord and Savior, and points to the reality that though he serves out of love, as every believer does, he's cared for by an even greater love, by the one that purchased him by his own precious blood. We get a glimpse of that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, when it talks about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's not surprising to me that Paul begins by describing his relationship in this way. Well, that wasn't the only way Paul described himself. He also mentioned two other things, and for sake of time, we'll just mention these in passing. But he continues on. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus. And then secondly, he introduces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He says, not only do I have an identity in my Lord, but he's given me a mission. He's given me a job to do. I have a ministry. I have a purpose. He's a called apostle. We have not been called to the office of apostleship, but every believer in Christ has been called to a specific ministry. Turn with me. We have time to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 to see the calling that we have as a Christian. Just as Paul would say he's called, he's been pressed into service as an apostle, we too, as believers, have been called to a new way of life, to a new job, if you will. Let's start in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. That makes me think instantly to the description Paul gives of himself as a slave. He had a new position in life, and so does every believer. We're new creatures in him. And then after that, look what comes in verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. And what does he mean by ambassadors? Look at verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. We have been called not only to a new identity, but to a new purpose. A new purpose of being an ambassador of Christ, of representing him, of serving him, of sharing the message of reconciliation with the world. And finally, back in Romans chapter 1, Paul gives one final description of himself as he introduces himself to these readers. He says, not only am I a bondservant, not only have I been called to a special function, but I've been set apart, he says, for the gospel of God. He's been set apart, which has the whole idea of boundaries, of marking off a place of his life, and God has put them there. It makes me think instantly of the signs you see when you drive through a town, and it says you're entering now the city limits of, and then, you know, fill in the blank. And you keep driving through that town, and depending on how big it is, you eventually get to another sign that says you're now leaving the city limits of. And when I lived in California, those signs for Los Angeles were, I mean, it was like, it felt like it was half the state by the time you left the city limits of Los Angeles. But what Paul is saying when he introduces himself that way is, I've been set apart for this city. There's some limits on my service. God's marked them off. He's separated me. He's placed boundaries on my life. I serve right here in this area. And this area is the gospel of God. I've been set apart to serve in this area. And the same is true for us when God calls us to be ambassadors. He sets us apart for a new way of life. Essentially, God says, I don't ever want you to leave the city limits of the mission that I've given you for sharing the gospel with the people that you see and know. And bringing all this together, what's so helpful for me is when I think through introducing myself as a Christian, number one, I think, am I ashamed to do it, to even say it? That's a good question to ask ourselves. Am I ashamed to say that I've been called by God to be an ambassador? If we're not afraid to say that to someone, number two, do we live it? Do we just say the words? Do we understand what it means, even looking at Romans 1:1, what it truly means to be a Christian, to be serving the Lord, set apart for Him? And then finally, I think when we take this description into our hearts and minds, and it becomes how we think about ourselves and talk about ourselves, it bleeds over into every area of our lives. Because I'm still a father, but as I think of myself according to Romans 1:1, I begin to think about the reality, the responsibilities, the privileges of a father in the context of being called to someone else. I'm supposed to serve my wife. I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church. I'm supposed to raise my children and discipline and instruct them and be patient with them, not exasperate them. As I think about my relationship with my mom and dad, I have to honor them. Even though I'm a grown-up now, the command still stands. And it's hard because I live by my dad and I work with my dad and my dad's my boss. But I've been called to a different way of life. And it bleeds over even to that introduction that I give to people and say, I'm Tim, I'm a pastor. I think about my job and my relationship to my dad in the context of what it means to be a believer. I wish I knew this when I was younger as an athlete. It would have helped me focus my mind and my thoughts before, during, and after competition to recognize that win or lose, I'm on a playing field before the eyes of God, who's gifted me in certain ways that I should use them to the fullest extent while still respecting and honoring other people. It bleeds over to my life as a student, or it should have. As we begin to understand ourselves in this way, I believe we begin to be able to fulfill those other ways we might think about ourselves, and rightfully so.